I just wanted to take a few moments to think about a person in the Bible, actually in the Christmas story, who often maybe gets a little bit overlooked in the story, is someone that's often in the background, is just sort of a person who's there, but it doesn't say anything. There are no words recorded that this person actually said. And yet is someone that is really key to the story. And that person is Joseph. Joseph, who was an ordinary man, a carpenter, yet he was personally chosen by God the Father to bring up his son. He chose Joseph out of all the people in the world that he could have chosen. He chose Joseph to be the person to bring up his son. And as I said, there are no actual words that are recorded that Joseph said. Everyone else had something to say. Mary had her song, didn't she? And the shepherds, they went and said, let's go and find. So if you look, there's lots of the characters that say something, but Joseph doesn't actually say any words. Yet he was a key person in this story. So I want us to, I'm just going to move these off because I can see they're all going to go flying. In your Bibles, if you want to look at the story, it's in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. When our girls were small, and I'm sure those of you that have children will have probably gone through this, but I remember when they were small thinking, goodness, what will happen to them if something happens to me and Mark? Say we go out one day and there's an accident and our girls are left alone. What would happen to them? And so we decided that we would make a will and we would appoint people that would care for our girls if anything should happen to us. And you would think that would be quite an easy thing to do. You think, oh well, yeah, there's lots of people, but actually when it comes down to choosing the right people to care for your children if something else happens to you, it's quite difficult, because you have to think, well, who is going to bring them up with the same values that I have? Who will be able to love them like we love them? Who could we entrust to deal wisely with it? You know, say if the house was sold, who would look after their interests? Who would put them first? Who would make them part of their family and love them in the way that we would want them to love? And in the end, we decided on my sister and her husband, because, you know, we were so similar in our views and everything. But it was something that we had to think about. And why did God choose Joseph to be the father of his son, knowing that Jesus was going to have to come to lay aside everything of heaven and be born, physically born as a baby, and to be completely helpless and dependent? And he chose Mary to be his mother. And what do we know about Mary? That she was young, but she was someone that didn't question when God asked her to do something, who loved God enough that she said, yeah, whatever you want, God, be it unto me, as you've said. Let it be. Whatever you've said, God, I will do it. Even though the cost for her at that time, for a young girl to be pregnant, was, you know, it was like she could have been stoned. She could have been killed for that happening. So what was it about Joseph that God looked down and saw in that man that there was something? In the other translations, in my Bible, it says that he was a good man. But in the others, it says that he was a righteous man. That Joseph was someone who was righteous. And if we look at verses 18 and 19, when we encounter Joseph, he has been thrown into this situation. You imagine, for someone, a man who was of good reputation, who people would look at and think, oh yeah, Joseph, he's a really good man. Yeah, Joseph, he's really righteous. Joseph, when he works, he does his best. He's honourable. He's got all these characteristics. Joseph, this man of good reputation, suddenly finds himself in the middle of this thing that's happening that for him would have just been awful. The girl that he was engaged to was pregnant and he knew it wasn't his baby. He knew that that child wasn't his. And in those days, an engagement, they call it a betrothal, was as good as being married. Once that, it was like a contract that they entered into. And once that contract had been entered into, they knew that at some point there would be a wedding. The girl would go and live with her family, and while the husband prepared a place for them to live. Often it was they would build another room on the end of the man's family home, and that would be their place to live. So as Joseph was lovingly preparing this place to take his bride to, in the middle of this, there's this bombshell that Mary is with child. Now Joseph's reaction, he could have, under law, he could have called her out about it, and he could have had her judged, and she could have, as I said, have been stoned. She could have been killed, because it brought such shame to the family and shame to him that this thing had happened. Yeah, even though he could have reacted in that way, he could have been angry, he could have said things about Mary, he could have told everybody just what sort of a girl she was. We're told that in verses 18 and 19, it says, Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. The reflection on Joseph for him to do that, people would have said, oh, why is he doing that? Something funny going on here. Why would a man not be angry about what has happened to his, maybe it's his child. Maybe he's the one that's done something wrong. And yet Joseph was prepared because he cared about Mary, because he was a righteous man. And he didn't want to see her punished, or he didn't want to see her reputation destroyed. He chose in his heart to forgive her. And although, you know, he still felt for her as a righteous person, he wanted to break off the engagement, but he wanted to do it in a way that didn't damage Mary. What a man to be able to do that. What strength of character for someone to be able to do that, knowing what people were going to be saying, knowing what was going on. When Mary tried to explain her pregnancy, it was like blasphemous for her to say what she did. You know, when she tried to explain it, who was going to believe her? You know, people would have been horrified with what she was saying. But Joseph was a righteous man. He chose the path of mercy for Mary. He was a good man who loved God, and he wasn't going to put her to shame. And he showed her mercy. And it's interesting, isn't it, that it was before the angel came to him that he had made that decision. It wasn't because the angel had come to him that he changed his mind. Before even that had happened, he had made that decision. What an amazing thing for him to have done. And then when the angel comes, he doesn't say, well, why has this happened? Why have you done this to me? Why are you putting me to this shame? Why are you doing this? He showed tenderness. He showed love. He showed mercy. Does that sound like someone we know? Someone that would do that for us? So how do we react when someone wrongs us? Do we want revenge? Do we want people to know that, you know, that we're in the right and it's the other person that's in the wrong? Or are we willing to be like Joseph and to extend that love and that mercy and that grace to people who have wronged us? And so Joseph, this righteous carpenter, this man who showed mercy, was going to raise God's son, Jesus, to be a merciful saviour. Why did God choose Joseph? Because he was a man of righteousness, a man of mercy, a man of kindness. And God knew that they were the characteristics that his son would be reflecting. He needed a man that would demonstrate that, that would model that for Jesus. Second lesson that we learn from Joseph is one of redemption. So if we look at verses 20 and 21, we're told, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is told who this baby is by the angel. God gives Joseph a glimpse of his divine plan. This baby is no ordinary baby. This baby is the one that as Jews, they've looked for, they've waited for, they've longed for. And he said, this is going to be the Messiah, but not this Messiah that you're thinking of. This Messiah is going to come and save the world. This isn't just about Israel. This is about the world. And so Joseph, he is what the angel says. There's no arguments. There's no questions. Joseph takes what the angel says. And he even, when Jesus is born, uses the name that the angel has told him to. He calls him Jesus. And we know that Jesus is from the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means the Lord is salvation, or simply the Saviour. And so we know that from that name, we know what Jesus' mission is. And even that, even calling this baby Jesus, went against the traditions of the time, because Joseph should have given him his family name. But he honoured God even in that. That would have caused even more questions amongst the people. Why? Why hasn't he called him by that, his family name? The questions would have remained, but Joseph honoured God and did as God had asked him. Jesus came to earth to redeem us. But in order to redeem us, a price had to be paid. And because Joseph was a descendant of David, because we know in the prophecies we were told that he would come from the line of David, we know that he was a righteous man, that God gave him this unique job of raising the Messiah. What a responsibility for Joseph, and yet he didn't turn his back on it. He could have said, no, it's too much, God. You're asking too much of me. It's too much for me to do. But he didn't. He took on this role that God had asked him to do. And so in his choice to show mercy and to stand with Mary and to redeem that situation, he chose to take the shame and to shield her from the consequences of what the law demanded. He stood between her and the law. He was the one that said, no, you say that she needs to be punished, but no, she's not being punished. I'm taking her to be my wife. He was the one that stood between Mary and the judgment that should have been. And again, we see that reflected, don't we, in the story of Jesus. Jesus had that example of a father who was willing to stand up and to be a protector and to shield Mary from the judgment, from the letter of the law. And it reminds us of that story, doesn't it, when there was the woman that was caught in adultery and they wanted to stone her, and Jesus stepped in and he shielded her from the judgment of the people, because he'd seen his earthly father Joseph demonstrate that with his own mother Mary. And last we see a lesson of obedience. Right at the end of that chapter, when the angel had appeared to Joseph, we find that he wakes up and it says that he went and he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded. He got up, he didn't question it, he didn't quibble. And actually, if we read on into chapter 2, after Jesus is born, and we know that Herod is out to kill Jesus, and the angel again appears to Joseph in the night, and he says, you must take the child and you must flee, you must go to Egypt because Herod wants to kill him. And there's no arguing, there's no ifs or buts. We're told that Joseph gets up, he gets Mary and Jesus, and they leave straight away. And then when the danger's over, an angel appears to him again and says, Joseph, right now you need to go to here. And he obeys. There's no questioning of what God is asking him to do. There's, even in the strangeness of it all, I think there must have been times when he must have thought, what on earth is going on? You know, what have I got myself into? What is going on around me? Yet he never once questioned what God had spoken to him. He honoured God in the way that he obeyed him. There was no hesitation. He took Mary as his wife. He suffered the cutting remarks that there would have been about a child conceived out of wedlock. He would obey and he would bear the humiliation and the damage to his reputation. And he would call this adopted son Jesus exactly as he'd been told to do. Joseph believed God and he obeyed him. The Bible often pairs faith and obedience together, doesn't it? They're two sides to the same coin. If we believe, then we need to do what God is asking us to do. I wonder if we're like that, if when God speaks to us, we're willing to be obedient, even if we don't understand why God's asking us to do something or what the outcome is going to be. Are we prepared to hear God's voice and to act when he speaks? We're saved by faith, but our faith's demonstrated by obedience. So maybe as we look at the life of Joseph, maybe as we look at these things, we can see why God didn't choose a king in a palace for his son to be born. Or he didn't choose a rich man or a powerful man who maybe they could rely on their own strength, their own wealth to bring up a child. He didn't choose a powerful man. He chose a humble carpenter who was merciful, who was kind, who was sacrificial, and who was obedient. A man who reflected his heavenly Father. Why did God choose Joseph? Because he was like his heavenly Father. I just want to finish by playing a song that you probably know quite well, but it's by Michael Card, and he wrote this beautiful song called Joseph's Song. And he put himself in the place of Joseph and tried to imagine how Joseph would have felt as he held that baby Jesus in his arms for the first time. So we're just going to listen to that.
How could it be? This baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully. The Son of God, the angel said, how could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines again. How could it be? Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? How could it be, this baby in my arms? Sleeping now, so peacefully, the Son of God, the angel said, how could it be?
Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be like Joseph, to be willing to show mercy, be willing to be kind, be willing to reflect who you are. Lord, thank you that Joseph was willing to do that he took on that great responsibility of bringing up your son Jesus. And Father, we ask that we would have the same heart when you ask us to do things, however big or small, Lord, that our response would be like his, and that we would obey and trust you, whatever it is that you ask us to do. Lord, that we would put our faith into practice. Lord, thank you for the lesson that we can learn from this righteous man, this good man, this man who loved you more than his own reputation. Lord, thank you that Jesus gave us the perfect example of that he was prepared to put aside his reputation, who he was, to become a helpless baby for each one of us. And Lord, as we approach this Christmas time and as we listen to this familiar story again, Lord, may we never grow complacent or never grow too familiar with it, that we stop to see the lessons that there are there for us. Lord, thank you.